Blog Hi, Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone. This is Maria Ells, and you are listening to the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Tonight, I will be hosting. My name is Maria Ells. I will be hosting the show. We'll have a couple of callers call in to just chime in on a few of the items that we have down to talk about tonight. But tonight's show is about creating community stimulus during the COVID-19. First, before I get into the show, I first would like to thank and honor God for letting me see another day. And also, I want to give a shout out to Reverend Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr., the founder of Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, and also a mentor of mine, and a servant to his community. He has created a platform, not just for me, but for many who are passionate and compassionate about helping people, about improving our community, about fighting injustice. And a lot of times our frontline workers, our community activists, our investigative journalists, they put themselves in harm's way a lot of times, and not because they need any kind of recognition or fame, but because of their deep care and concern and knowledge about the injustices that go on in our communities, especially to our Black and Brown folks. So I just really wanted to give him a shout out and a thank you. He is also the founder of the Fresno Freedom School and Making Moves. We are being COVID responsible and gardening at home. So we have a stay-at-home community garden that is taking place right in front of Dr. Harris's home. And we have students that come, not in big groups, because we can't have them in big groups at this time. But we have a lot of, we have our youth that come and help out as they can in the midst of this coronavirus. So, and I also just want to give, I'm honored for anyone who calls in tonight, anyone who listens to the show or watches the live stream of the show. I know you could be maybe doing other things, but I'm hoping that when you leave the show tonight or stop listening to the show tonight, that you take something away, something that will help you, something that will encourage you, because we know there's a lot to make us down, even depressed. Now, but we're still alive. This will pass, and we have work to do. And this can be a tool that we use to shed light on some of the things that we need to do in our community, that we need to do in our homes, that we need to do in our education system, changes that we need to make in our policies, so we are not ill prepared for the next wave or the next pandemic or the next event that may put our lives or our livelihoods in jeopardy. I wanted to start off and also thank our creator, our ancestors who paved the way for us to have a voice and be able to stand. So the one thing that has really crossed my mind with this COVID-19 is the fear that it seems to have struck in people. People are fearful of getting sick. People have lost their jobs and they're fearing, how will I pay my bills? How will I pay my rent? Even with a moratorium on rent, there still are landlords who are wanting their money, and even to them, being able to, the possibility of losing a life is still not as important as them making their money. And same can be said of some business and corporations. Even our president, who seems to not regard life with value, or some lives with value. We know it has hit the Black community especially hard. And last Thursday on the show, we talked about some of those disparities that have led to Black people and brown people being more susceptible, from systemic racism to them being on the front lines and often holding those essential worker jobs, to not receiving the type of health care that we should, due to biases, due to lack of resources. And then in a recent case with me, just even going to see a doctor now, they're requiring you to make sure that you are negative, corona negative. I'm one of those who has some risk factors, health risk factors that would make me more susceptible. And I was sick for about a week, and I called my physician to be able to schedule an appointment. And because of a couple of my symptoms, I was asked to take a COVID-19 test, which I took on Saturday at Kaiser. It was a very fast process. I got the results, which were negative, thank God, which were negative. I got those a day later, less than 24 hours later. Tonight, I really want to focus on community. We know that we have elected officials who should be taking responsibility, and we have elected them to take responsibility when to lead the city and to do the best thing for the people and the citizens in their community. But what can we do, and how do we do it to build our own community? We know that we weren't prepared, and we know our president was prepared, and we know that our communities weren't prepared locally and across the nation. So how do, during this time, how do we build that community, and how do we make our elected officials feel the pressure where they will do the right thing? And if they don't have the power to do it, they will reach out to others who do have the power to do the right thing to prepare us from now and into the future. So I have a caller that is coming in. I'm going to have Eileen Reed, co-host, a good friend, definitely another friend in the struggle, that will come on and just give some more perspective. So I'm going to see if I can get her on the line.
Oh.
Hello, 5172.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, wonderful.
2 weeks in a row.
Thank you for that intro. I've been listening to what you were saying to start off, and I was really impressed by how well you laid it out and talking about what we should do as a community. And I'm looking at the things that are happening or not happening in Fresno, and I'm thinking, okay, so our mayor-elect, Jerry Dyer, is asking for blood drives and things like that. He's asking people to donate, which is a good thing. Then you've got Miguel Arias, who's working on housing the homeless. On the other hand, you have one of our Board of Supervisors, Steve Brandow, complaining on Facebook that, oh, they put some homeless people in a hotel and they, you know, effed it up for everybody. Excuse my language. That was him, not me.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, so why would you blame people who obviously have issues when you could be hiring them to help maintain everything and keep it clean, establish the rules. You know what I'm saying, Maria, you know, in social work. Sometimes you have to assist people in doing the right thing. So I think what this COVID is doing, in my opinion, is really shining a light on the fact that poverty can be a death sentence, whether it's through ignorance, whether it's through just banality and not caring, or resources to have a decent place to live with running water and, you know, the ability to buy gloves or have a face mask or things like that. And so I'm wondering, okay, so what are elected officials doing and what is the responsibility of nonprofits? Because right now it appears that nonprofits are the only groups that are really stepping up to do something, nonprofits and churches. And churches are providing meals, but you can't wear a meal. You can't live in styrofoam. So what do you think we should do about moving forward? Does it need to be a joint enterprise between the people who get paid to do this, our elected officials, or should the community be listened to, because they're not listening to us now?
Right. Well, what I do know is that collectively between the city of Fresno and the county, they received $5 million. And that is just to help with bed and shelter and for our homeless population and our homeless families. It's one thing that people said during the mayoral race, a little after the mayoral race, and then it came down to us dealing with COVID-19 and the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, well, where are all of these people and all their ideas, you know, and not just talking about the those that were running for the mayor, but we had a few different races going on. And, you know, they said, well, you know, everybody had the answers. They were seeking out experts and who are really experts in their field, one being Mike Rhodes and with, what is his name, Jans. And we know that our frontline community activists and those that are working closely in the community and are active in putting words into action, we know that they have solutions.
Right.
But what I don't understand is why is it so hard for the power structure to bring those people in and really let them delegate and do what we know could work. Because Lord knows that the things they've tried hasn't worked. They've used them at the worst conditions. They've led to lawsuits.
That is absolutely true. I sometimes wonder, is it their inability to relinquish what they perceive as power? You know, people keep saying now, oh, we all need to work together. Really? We do? Because it doesn't seem to be working that way. And I'm saying that because I don't know if any of our listeners or yourself saw on Facebook today where the Central Valley Foundation, that Ashley Swearingen is the head of, donated a bunch of masks to Clinica Sierra Vista. And I made a comment about this donation because many of you will understand that this Central Valley Foundation helped Fresno, you know, secure like $70 million based on poverty stats, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so now they're donating masks to Clinica Sierra Vista to help support. And I'm thinking, so that's it? You're just going to donate masks and that's it to the staff that's working there? You know, I just, Maria, I really would hope that somebody would call in and explain to me why it is that people who are living this experience, people who are on the frontline workers, who are social workers, who have these answers, are not being listened to. I don't understand the logic in that.
Well, you know, it's almost to me sort of this, we want the recognition of being the hero when we know the real heroes are often unsung heroes.
Mm.
And you don't
right.
often see them. I just want to give your mom's situation as an example. You know, you had
okay.
exhausted all means of communication. You had called the city. You had put in written notices and complaints. You had been ignored. You had been placed on hold. It took them more time than it should have taken to get back to you. And
yeah.
finally, you had to call on Reverend Harris to launch action, you know.
Very true.
And that action was to expose. The action is not to solve the problem right away. The
yes.
action is taken to expose the injustice so it cannot
exactly.
be swept under the rug and cannot be hidden.
That's
and they have to deal with
it,
either the right way or
that's
the wrong way.
That's exactly what happened to my family.
Yes, so he comes in, things get exposed, publicity is put on
mm-hmm.
the situation of the removal of the tree that
right.
was definitely a public safety hazard.
Right.
And once things were in motion, then we had a mayor who wanted to come see Ms. Corrine Reed mm-hmm. and was trying to
yes.
get your cooperation. We had media that was trying to come in and
all
say, hey, just say that we did this, you know, that we helped.
Yes.
We had our city council a person in Southwest
that's
Fresno,
right.
Miguel,
that's
who,
true.
You know, said, and you know, I give Miguel some effort for at least trying, at least
yes.
Stepping out boldly sometimes and
yes,
often again, amidst criticism from his peers to try and do the right thing.
Yes.
So,
yes, he tries to do the right thing. Yes.
But really, it came down to you knowing someone who is concerned and cares about you, the
yes.
community, your mom.
The community. Yes.
And that was the unsung hero.
Right, and exactly, Maria. And he's been doing this for years, working in the community, as have you been doing what you do with young people for years. For me, it's been, you know, community activism, you know, and to be quite honest, it's a task that is not for the faint heart, because you get a lot of slings and arrows and people just don't understand. And I think this COVID is bringing it full circle, Maria, that we need to talk about how things need to get done, and they need to come to the people who understand the ramifications of this virus to regular rank-and-file community members.
Yes.
Because a lot of people just don't understand, oh, well, why can't they do this? Why can't they do that? The complexities of poverty are more, you know, than we have time to even talk about tonight. It's like peeling an onion, and people don't understand that. They don't want to think about that. It's too hard. It's too complex. And I'm talking about black and brown people sometimes, and white people just say, you know what, I'm out. They don't even want to deal with it. So, but we have to deal with it. This COVID virus has exposed the problems with capitalism, the problems with unions that do not always work in the best interest of their members. You know, you got caregivers in Fresno County that are not being given protective gear. I know, because I'm one of them. It just so happens that I take care of my mom. But what if I was one of those caregivers, Maria, that was going to 3 and 4 homes a day, and I have to pay for my own protective gear and buy gas? You know, people don't think about these things, and I think that's one of the reasons that there has been a call by some groups in the United States, and I got ragged on this on Facebook about talking about a general strike, because I'm talking about for the essential workers, the grocery workers, the the fast food workers, the janitors, the maintenance people, the bus drivers, you know, all these people who make our lives easier and make the economy run, in addition to farm workers. And these people get no love. They get no love. And maybe if the world stops for a day or two or 14, maybe they would understand that, you know what, these corporations can't run without them. So this is an opportunity for us to do some good. And if corporations are smart, if our elected officials are smart, they'll come to the community and really listen, not being condescending, but really listening and want to work with us to make things better for everybody.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you brought up that you are an essential worker, because so many people I know, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you still have a job. There's people out here with no job. But it goes a little deeper than that. It goes down to our lives and the value of our lives. And, you know, this show is called Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter, because, and it's not because, and I've said this before, it's not because all lives don't matter, but our lives matter too, and we're often left out of the matter part. So we have to emphasize that our lives matter, because nobody's going to emphasize that for us. We've seen that throughout history. So we have to do it ourselves. And as much as I want elected officials who we pay, sometimes they act like they pay us, but we pay them. We are their bosses. They are not our bosses. You know, I really just the walkout into not go in, it would show, you know, that we do have the power. You know,
we do have the power, and we need to use it.
And we have a power that we don't use because we lack some of the things to be prepared to suffice or get through until
say
those,
that.
And with those things or the support. You know, if we have people that we know that walked out to a strike, a overall essential worker strike, then we also need to have that buffer to come in and make sure they're okay. You know, frontline workers are often the ones that get the sticks and stones thrown.
That's right. That's
at them,
right.
Instead of the recognition and the praise that they actually deserve.
And this could be a strike where they actually stay home, not even be on a picket line, where they're actually at home, all of them, where everything in America stops for 14 days. That would be some powerful stuff. And I'm hoping that it happens. I'm hoping that people open their eyes. I was getting some really negative comments on Facebook. Oh, well, don't these people have, you know, who is they? Who are they calling for a general strike? Don't these people have a union? Well, if they're essential workers, they probably need a wage. Well, they're working a job now, and they're putting their lives at risk. And they don't even get protective gear. That's why the strike is so important. I mean, Maria, people have to, excuse me, listeners, please excuse me. I get so caught up with the emotion, with folks not understanding the plight of somebody else. Just because you have it easy does not mean other people have it easy. You know, you need to be your brother's keeper in this.
Really, and that builds on to what we're talking about tonight, which is building our own kind of stimulus. And what does that look like, and how do we do it? I have another caller that I want to bring in, see if they would like to speak. Caller, last four of the phone number is 8305. I'm going to put you in. Hi, caller, 8305. Are you there?
Hi, good evening.
Hi, is this Crystal?
Yes, Yes, this is Crystal. I'm on my way to work. I am an essential worker, girl. It don't even stop, you know?
I hear you.
Yes. Well, God bless you. You guys are standing in our prayers.
With you. You know what that is? A blessing and a curse, because I have to move around unsure. And then I'm glad I have a job to move around, because it's some things that's going on that seems to be, you know, it seems like it may be the norm for a while, which is people out of work. I mean, mass people out of work. So I'm blessed to either still have a job to draw a paycheck, but at what price? Because we're talking about protective gears and masks and gloves.
Right.
Me, myself, I ain't even sure that's how it's being spread. You know, I'm just going to keep it 100. That's a precautionary measure, and I'm with it. I have a mask, and I wear gloves from time to time. But who's to say that that's the way it's really being spread? You know, so I'm still out here moving around and working and breathing and going to stores and taking care of people, and I'm still at risk, and I believe I'm putting them at risk. Because what Charlene is saying, the 14-day shutdown mandatory for everybody, no movement, you know, I believe that's the only way that you could really see what this is really about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank
I mean,
you.
No movement, no McDonald's, no Burger King, you know, not have it your way. You know, they sent us some stimulus money, and I know it's to pay bills and help us, you know, keep our lights on. I thank the Lord for that also. But they still dictating. I just seen an article a little while ago saying that a lady went to buy a car seat at Walmart and she couldn't buy a car seat because it's not an essential. So her baby riding in a car seat sounds like an essential item to me.
That sounds like an essential item to me also. You can essentially get a big ticket for not having a car seat.
Exactly. And I think, you know, if she's moving her baby from here to there, she must have an essential reason.
Exactly.
She wants to just be out here in it. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. You know, Sister Crystal and Sister Maria, I was listening to KSCF earlier today, and there are some questions about whether or not some employers who have their employees working at home, they're having an even tighter rein on them. They know how many minutes they're on their computers. They know when they're off their computers. You know, they're doing FaceTime. They're doing Zoom. They're doing all these things. I mean, you're at home, but do you even feel comfortable going, taking a restroom break? I mean, you know, so we have to decide what's important. And we can't let the corporations and big business decide for us what is important, especially for women who are doing double duty already.
Yes, I know some Walmart workers who are saying that they are told that if they find out anybody's sick or that anybody has COVID, that if they reveal that or expose that to the public, that they'll be fired.
Wow.
That
should be illegal. Oh, my goodness. Wow. This country, you know, is showing its true colors now.
I sent some documents because I'm a firm believer what the Word of God said is everything been done under the sun been done before. So I have sent something to the show for Sister Maria to put on her show tonight, so we can see that God's word is true.
Yes.
Something happened back in 1720. Different pandemics, different viruses. Sister Maria, I'm telling the truth, right? You have the documentation. They have women walking around with masks on, dressed like the 1800s.
Right.
You know, they had masks on.
Yes.
And it was revealed that every 100 years, things
every
like this
years.
Have happened.
Yeah, we have a pandemic. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
On tonight's invite, on my Facebook invite, I put one of the pictures up where they have the mask on, and they said, wear a mask. And this was from the Spanish flu, you know, of 1920.
Right. 1920. Yes. 1920. Wow.
So we've been through this before, and we should have been prepared.
Haven't been through it, but the world has been through it before.
The world, yes.
You know, I wasn't born back then, so I didn't go through it. And I wasn't prepared because I've never seen anything like this. So it's a lot of me's out there that feel like, oh, this is unusual, this is crazy, this is this, this is that. But it's been done before. Do you hear what I'm saying, y'all?
President Obama had a pandemic team in place for this.
Yes.
And number 45 dismantled it. Yes. He dismantled it. He knew this virus was coming, and he did not care enough about the American people to leave the pandemic team in place. He dismantled it.
Well, I think it was out of sight for who was before him and for him to come in and rearrange it to make this his own. You know, he has a mind of a mad scientist or something.
Yes,
he's really crazy. Yeah. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Oh, forgive me, y'all. He's really too much. You know what I'm saying? His ego is bigger than the world. And he wants to make everything like it's something new or something he invented or created. Nobody can fix it, stop it, or do it but him. But that's not
right.
True. Because we have another document that I think the system idea that says that they closed the schools. They closed the restaurants. They closed the church. They did that before, too. So so sure God's word is true. And if you get in it, you'll read it and find out it's true, too. And people need to come closer. And this is just him. You know, the scripture in the Bible that says, go hide yourself to my anger past. He is dealing with us now. He's dealing with us. The government thinks that they're dealing with us because men always think they're in control. Well, some men think they're in control. But God is in control, y'all. And until he says it's over, it ain't over to the fat baby scene. You understand? So I believe in the word of God. I believe we do have to put precaution. We have to stay prayed up. We have to educate our people on more levels than, like Sister Maria was talking about, too. Our own economic stimulus. We have known from Black Wall Street when they burnt that down that it was powerful because they don't take nothing or try to tear up nothing that they don't think is working. See, if they didn't think it was going to work about nothing, they would have left it alone.
Wow.
But they knew that was a powerful entity and they had to destroy it. But we should have rebuilt it like the temple, honey. You understand what I'm saying? And we should still rebuild
it. I agree. But how are we going to convince Black people in Southwest Fresno, in Fresno, to invest in themselves, to believe in themselves enough to invest in themselves? Now, Maria, I might be wrong, but I'm trying to remember the price tag of a credit union in Southwest Fresno. Wasn't it $250,000, $250,000?
Actually, it was $100,000.
Okay, even cheaper. Now, we can do that. If every family in Southwest Fresno contributed, like, what, $1, $5 to raise that money, we wouldn't need to just count on Bank of America in our community. We can start loaning each other money to build our businesses,
And we can do it, but what we have to do is, you said the main word is we have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe we can. See, we always believe somebody else can, but we can't. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that comes from that mentality that was engraved in us that we have to have somebody else give it to us or show us how to do it before we can.
Right.
But if we look at history, we built everything and they duplicated it. We built it and they rebuilt it. Or they maybe took it and tweaked it to a different model or something. But we built it. We built irons and tires and cars and bars.
Yeah.
I mean, what did we build? We built it, and
somebody else profited from it. So we need to learn how to build it and profit. Build and profit.
Exactly.
We can do this.
Exactly.
So I have a couple of questions that I would like to ask you guys. Number one, what was our community or our sense of community like before COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic, and how has it changed? We know some obvious things, but those intricate things that don't often get captured by the media. What was our community like before, our sense of community like before, and how has COVID-19 affected the community now?
You want to go, Sally? Because I have some, just about two.
No, you go. I'll follow you. You go ahead. I'll follow
okay,
you.
Okay, well, to me, before the pandemic, before COVID-19, before this, we were doing some of these things all of our own. We were being distanced from each other. So that hasn't changed. They had their picks and their choices, you know, those secret little cliques. And some of them ain't secret, but they cliques. But you weren't coming together, uniting. You know, the churches was empty. You know, most of them, the smaller ones, you know, where it's not a big clique. You know, so those things, for them to shut the door, it's probably saving them some money, because how you going to run a church with no members putting into it? So those things never changed. Those things were coming to pass anyway. Now, COVID-19 stopped all of it. I mean, it shut it all the way down. You know, no movement in certain areas. And what it's doing is making us stay distant from each other. Now everybody got to be 6 feet apart. You can't just say good morning to a person in the line. You know, they look at us funny. So what is it doing? It's making us more distant. It's dehumanizing us to a point where we're not even being the human beings that we were before this happened, which at least we would smile and say good morning. You know, we don't even do that no more, because everybody's trying to keep their distance. The second thing is the economy. You know, the Black community's economy, we're going to feed into the social and all the things that society runs off of somewhere else. We go across town to buy clothes. We go to fashion there. And we go all to these other places instead of in our own community, where we should demand having a fashion fair or something similar to it that would produce jobs and money. We don't stand up for ourselves. And it's not just the West Side. It's just Black people in general. We have Black people that live all over for us now. They all need to come together.
They have money.
Yeah. Don't think because you live on the north side or in the bluff or wherever it may be that you're not Black. You still Black at the end of the day. And if you ever lose your money or that standing in the community, you don't know you're Black. You understand? Because they don't treat you like they treat the rest of us. Like we're nothing. That's like we're invisible at times. So
absolutely.
I think it's worse.
Ask Michael Jackson if he was alive.
Us being what Dyer says, one Fresno. Yeah, we sure are one messed up Fresno. That's what we are. And until we see how to bring us together as people, as Black people, because Black people are the most separate race of people I ever seen in my entire life. I see Asians, I see Spanish, I see Hmong. Girl, you should see all of them come together. They have issues, they have gangs, they have, you know, dysfunction, alcoholism, drug addiction, loss of job, but they come together. Black people only want to talk about each other, backbite each other, won't let nobody get a job, won't tell you where a job is if you need one.
I want to address what Crystal is talking about right there, because when she's saying that we were already distant and now, you know, we're separated even more, that's true. But what I'm hoping is that, Maria, like the second point, like what could change, the second part of your question, I'm hoping that this will give us time to reflect as people and look at what we can do to strengthen our community and come together when this is over. I know that Reverend Harris is like planting right now for Freedom School vegetables. I'm planting some at my house and putting in some raised beds to plant even more. And when those crops come in, we want to share those with the community. So I'm hoping that this will be a time when we can reflect about how we can make things better, how we can have more trust. Because, and I'm saying that because I'm worried about the people who are locked up in jail and are trapped and can't even be distant from anybody. They're sitting, they're lined up in jail. And so
Maria,
I'm hoping that, that COVID is going to, you know, open our third eye, so to speak, about how we can be better as a community to one another.
Yes.
Okay. And
yes, that's my hopes too.
Mine too. That's my prayer. I'm tired of hoping. I'm just praying. Because I know my faith is in the Lord, and the Lord going to see us through. He's going to bring people down. And, you know, I'm not isolating Spanish people, Mexican people. We need all people. You know, God created everyone. He don't see color and all that. We do. We need us to come together. And then the prison system is so sad. I have a friend in there, and it's just terrible. But, again, with this garden and things like that, I'm going to do a garden, too. I want to do a raised one in the flower beds also. Do you see the people still coming out across town, handing out food and bags and groceries? And I haven't seen, I think, but one church do that on this side of town, on the west side. And what is that? We're so fearful that we're not even doing that. We're not even helping our poor people that really, you know, they don't have any groceries. You know that their food stamps run out at a certain point in the month. So why isn't more churches or more community people doing things that I see people's church?
Yeah.
I see there's some farmers or something that cook and pass out food daily. Why are we doing that? That was my question. And I know this is kind of off of what we were on, but what's that about?
Even the distribution sites that they used to have from the food bank are being shut down. They're not distributing food like they used to before this happened. So you're right about that.
Since you guys just mention a food distribution, the Valley Dream Center this Thursday from 9 to 11 o'clock, Valley Christian Center will be having their food pantry giveaway. Residence. It's located at 4649 East Shields. 4649 East Shields. That's Valley Christian Center, from 9 a.m. to 11 o'clock. And I'm pretty sure the lines will start forming well before then.
Right. Thank you for that information, Sister. We should repeat that before the show ends because Sister Crystal is right. I think there's only been one church on the west side that did a food distribution. And I know on the north side, I think it was People's Church passed out like 1,000 boxes or more to the people in their community. But we know what the need is on the southwest side and the southeast side. And so we can do better because we can go to some of these stores, collect the food, bag the food the same way that they do at the food bank and distribute it. We can do that if we would do it. So,
if
I'm
we would. That's what I'm saying. What is it?
Yeah.
Why haven't anybody gathered
the I'm calling them out.
Yeah, and say, okay, West Fresno, let's come together and hand out groceries for an hour. We don't have to be out there all day, but it's people that move around like myself all the time out here in this environment that's unsure, and I believe that we could go out and hand out some food. Ain't nobody that scared, I'm sure.
Right, and not be, some of it is, okay, well, they stopped some of the, because I know Fresno EOC Local Conservation Corps, the first Saturday of every month, they did a food distribution. The West Fresno Resource Center, I think they would do theirs like the last Friday or the first Friday or something along those lines. They usually would do theirs the day before Fresno EOC Local Conservation would do theirs. And I know some of it was, you know, the safety of those who would be handing out the food and so forth. But there's ways. And like I said, we really need to acknowledge our unsung heroes, because our essential workers are our unsung heroes. And we don't need to just do it in verbally. We need to do it financially. We need to and support them and give them the things that they need.
I'm really hoping that this is going to shine a spotlight and that people are going to actually come together. I know that there are some of us who are in the next few weeks going to be trying to put together the next Progressive Black Summit. Reverend Harris has spoken to me about doing it for this year. And, you know, I'm hoping that this is some of the things that we can talk about. I'm hoping that we'll be able to move around and actually meet at the end of the year. So these are the things that we need to talk about, folks. I mean, everybody has a voice. Everybody has something to contribute. I was watching Reverend Harris's video this afternoon of some of the people at the Old Man's Park across from Wayne's Liquor Store. And I'm not trying to call anybody out that was across the street at the Old Man's Park, but I didn't see a lot of social distancing. I didn't see anybody wearing gloves. They might have been, and my eyes are just bad, and so is my hearing. But we can do better. If we're going to be over there, then let's make it positive. If we're going to be hanging out, let's do a food distribution over there.
Right.
Let's make it something positive for the community and not just be hanging out because we ain't got nothing else to do. You know, hey, you want to sip on your whatever you're sipping on, that's cool too, but let's make it positive for everybody else in the community.
Well, you know, we had Dr. Saxon on Thursday, and even with the drinking, you know, I know people self-medicate. I know people are depressed, and often they use substances as a way to escape or cope. But we had Dr. Saxon that says, hey, I have a bottle of vodka that I turned into a disinfectant because, you know, drinking alcohol lowers your immune system, ability to fight off colds and flu. So also the way we eat, one thing I really like about Dr. Harris and the Fresno Freedom School is teaching our kids, like we're sowing seeds on. These kids know they know how to grow food, you know, and they know that they don't have to go hungry as long as they know how to grow food. They know how to grow good food at that. So you know, we will be delivering kits to them where they will be growing at home. So it's watch us grow at home, Freedom School. So Dr. Harris and a couple of people who will be going out and delivering those kids to the students, keeping them engaged by monitoring growth, monitoring the problems. And then at the end of 8 weeks, which we are praying, like Sister Crystal said, I'm hoping and praying that we will be able to swap those vegetables and what they've grown to also show them a sense of community responsibility and responsibility to one another. And that's what community is. It's not just thinking about yourself. It's thinking about the elderly person who needs may need help getting supplies or someone to pick up their medicine. It's the essential worker who needs that PPE, that protective gear. It is that child that, you know, needs a meal. It is that that support that the parents need because they're child's teacher. We always have been our children's first teacher, but It's taking on a new meaning. It's supporting policies, you know, that will protect and pay higher wages and offer more health care, better health care, you know, universal health care. Especially to our folks who are picking the food. They already were in bad conditions, our undocumented and our farm workers were already getting the bad end of everything, you know.
That's true.
It's supporting them and supporting policies that we can put in place that would make sure that people can see doctors, and they can see doctors undiscriminatory, you know. There's this big myth that, you know, Black people, we can survive everything. That's probably one of the first myths that got us off to the wrong start with COVID-19 is the that they said that Black people couldn't get COVID-19. And we know that that is, you know, not true now. But also not letting COVID-19 paralyze us to where we don't move. And we don't think we have a voice anymore. And we don't think that we can still get ahead of this, and not only get ahead of this, but make sure that we never are in a state where we're not prepared.
You make a good point, sis, because a lot of these frontline jobs, like bus drivers and, you know, transit bus drivers and things like that, these are jobs that Black people have where you have to come in contact with others. And that is why we're so disproportionately a lot of times affected by this. They want, in the media, they're trying to say that it's just our behavior, and that is not completely true. It's just not true. It's like the bus driver, I think it was in Detroit, talking about somebody who got on his bus a week prior coughing, and a week later, this brother was dead. So, you know, we have to be mindful of that. And I'm hoping what you say is right, that we never are in a position where we are the canaries in a coal mine again for something like this. You make an excellent point.
And it's also going back to some of those things that granted us independence, and not only granted us independence, but it was a healthier lifestyle, a healthier way of living. It provided more purpose, more of a sense of belonging for people, from learning how to sew and knit. The one thing that came out with COVID that my heart just went out to, we have Fredo Martin and Renee Martin, and they are, you know, out sewing masks in Madeira. And, you know, they invited me to be a part of this group to sew masks, and I can't sew. Like, I can sew a button. I can do just a minor, you know, stitch up something. But before, I was encouraged more towards education as opposed to those type of skills that develop life skills that can take you through a pandemic. Growing your own food, mending, making your own clothes and quilts, you know, being able to use food as a health remedy, you know, and not just only to enjoy the food, but that food has health benefits. I'm not sure if Sister Denise is able to get on, but she is a vegetarian, and she's a Fresno Freedom School supporter. She supports us in general, and she's always talking about how food can be our healer. Can develop those immunities that we need to fight and defeat a COVID virus.
Listeners, I hope you follow Sister Denise, because she posts some of the greatest vegan recipes on Facebook. You will not believe your eyes, and just check out the sister. But you're absolutely right, Maria, and these are things that our great-grandparents knew how to do. Why? Because a lot of times white doctors would not help them. They did not trust white doctors, and who can afford one if you're living in a rural South? But sometimes simple is better. And that is one thing I love about Fresno Freedom School, because the kids grow the food and they understand the nutrition behind the food.
and they learn how to cook it.
Yeah.
And preserve it.
We have another caller. I'm hoping it's Dr. Harris. He's been gracious to just let me take over his show. It's a lot I need to learn how to do, and I will with some more practice and time. So I'm going to see if this may be him. I asked him to call in and just talk about those that stay at home garden and how we need to get back to some of those things, even post COVID-19 pandemic, those things that we need to practice, like I said, so we develop that community stimulus and giving to each other, taking care of each other, so we don't get into the same position again. So just hold a second, and I'm going to see if this may be him.
Hi,
COVID-8562.
Hello, how's everyone doing?
Hi, good.
All right.
I see you. See you doing a great job on the show. It looks like you all need me no more.
that is not true.
That is not true.
That is not true. She is
doing a great job, though.
I just want to commend you for your courage for doing the show. Me and Dr. Kennedy, who moved to Atlanta, Georgia, we had a show for about 2 years called The Number One Doctors, myself and Gene Kennedy. And so we kind of moved away from that, and I felt the urge of creating this show, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. And this show is for the community, to talk about real issues, to talk about us. There's nothing wrong talking about us. There's nothing wrong talking about black issues. There's nothing wrong talking about all issues, but charity starts at home. And I think that's kind of where we are right now with this virus type of conversation that we're dealing with today. You know, I was listening to everyone talk a little earlier about the virus and, you know, what we can do as a people and a community. And, you know, I think for us black people that we've been dying for over 400 years. This is nothing new for us, for the hell that we've been through in this country for 400 years and counting until today. And I want to give some framework around what I just said, because I think it's important that our listening audience and all of our supporters, local here in Fresno, across the country, understands that this virus conversation is just really one of many hundreds, thousands of the extermination of black people. You know, my good sister, Sister Denise, bless her heart, she was the one who made me become conscious about meat. That's one piece that's killing us. You know, another piece that's killing us is environmental racism. You know, dealing with here in West Fresno, the Darling International Packing House that's been operating illegally here for over 60-something years, which is polluting the air. That's a virus. How can we not just say this virus conversation that's going across? Listen, every community, poor community where black people are at, has a virus of environmental racism. That's a virus. So why is that not just as important to shut down a country where poor people are at, in little pockets of the South and Louisiana, and, you know, we're dying.
Yeah.
We're dying. But I guess because this came out of, what, China? Is that where it came out of?
That's what they're saying.
That all of a sudden that this virus supersedes all of the other things that's been killing black people for the last 400 years in America. So we shut down the whole country. Then we tell people, just go home. Go in your house, lock your door, and don't come back out. And the virus won't get you if you stay in the house. Well, it's interesting because one tells us that the virus is what? Airborne. So is that true?
It's supposed to stay.
Yes, it can cause diseases. It can move 10 feet. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for the sake of argument, let's say that it is airborne. We agree with that. So now you cut on your air conditioner or your heater. Mm. Your air conditioner what? Sucks. Mm-hmm. Well, is that a way for it to get in your home? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So you drive it in your car. You cut on your heater or your air. Is that a way for you to get the virus? Oh, so now your mail carrier comes and he put mails in your mail slot. You don't even know if your mailman, let me stop because now I'm going to be making people paranoid now. I'm going to make people in a panic. So you don't know if the mailman or woman is coughing on your mail before they stick it in your mailbox. So really, how are we really as a country lock ourselves up in a house and say we're not going to get it?
I asked Sister Denise to come in to kind of talk about some of those things that we can do to naturally build up immunities to fight this, regardless of where it comes from. So I have a caller. I just want to see if this caller may be her. So if you guys don't mind, just a second. Hi, caller 4863.
Yes, blessings. This is Denise.
Hi, I'm glad you joined us. You're right on time.
Thank you. I've been listening. My granddaughter's here, so I'm actually putting her on hold for a second so we can communicate. babe, you have to go and just play with something else. I'm sorry. Just play with something else. I don't know what is free. I don't know.
No, if you just and you're totally
play afraid. With something else right now because I'm on the phone, okay? Okay.
All right. So I noticed that we were talking, and some of the things that I think some people are not paying attention to when it comes to this virus is at first, it definitely was hitting a lot of the older generation because of the compromised immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as we saw, the heavily melanated and tropical locations were not having as much infections compared to the European countries. So what ended up happening is this whole idea that it would not affect people of color. But what we forget is that they did say that this was affecting people with compromised immune systems, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, asthma. We know our population is high in those illnesses because of our diet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on top of that, other epidemics that happened, the bird, the swine, the H1N1, all that, it all comes from people not having a balance when it comes to eating dead animals. How do we, and this is just facts, because Wuhan had that, I mean, it was a perfect location, even if this is a conspiracy theory as far as where it took place. It was in an open market where you have, you know, your skin, which is the largest organ in your body, touching blood and dead carcasses in addition to feces and urine. Okay, so if we were to take an American and you take them to Wuhan and they see that, that might be a little disgusting, especially if they see them cutting up a dog because we're used to, you know, those being our pets. But
right.
That same American is not paying attention to how they are dealing with the animal industry when it comes to how they're treating them, and both not only in the way they are raised, how they're treated, and their execution. What, they just had to close they had to close a pig, right? There was a pig factory that they just had to close because, is that the one?
Yeah, Smithfield.
I think it was like, like 200 or so workers are infected, and it's not part of how this earth was originally designed. And if it was, then the fruit would be bountiful. You wouldn't have diseases. You would not have people, you know, like this man, the bus driver. Now, I feel bad that people who are passing from this, I get it, and it's very bad. Nobody wants to die. But at the end of the day, did he really take care of himself? What did he do to make sure that his health was the optimum, you know, what was he doing? When you look at the people who are passing, they're either overweight or they have something going on that their immune system was compromised. Now, I'm not saying that makes their loss any less.
No, could I ask you a question along those lines?
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but, okay, say somebody wants to change their diet, and they're going from meat eating to vegan or lacto-oval vegetarianism. They're going to that. What is the time frame for them to be able to see a discernible difference about the way they feel when the food is being, you know, processed through their body? How long will it take? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month? Is it 6 months? Does it depend on the person?
That's a great question. Is Dr. Harris still on the line? Is he still there, or is he Dr. Harris?
I hope
Floyd, is he still on the
Dr.
line?
Dr. Harris, you still there?
Hello? Hello.
Okay, so
Here's
a question. Here's a question for that would be a great question for somebody who might have had a bunch of backache, snoring, and these different types of ailments. So, Dr. Harris, did you give up dairy? Did you give up milk, cheese? Have you given that up?
Yeah. When you were coming on our show a couple of months ago, I started doing my own research with the meat conversation and really come to find out what you were saying was true. And I was, because one of my members at church, she would always used to tell me that to breathe real hard, like, you know, I could sit down, I'm just breathing real hard, and I just, you know, cut back on, you know, all the meats and stuff. She came back and said, there's a change. She said, you're not breathing as hard and, you know, all that other stuff that you used to do. And I had to bring it back to, you know, changing how I was eating.
How long
so
did it take?
How quick was that for you when you decided not to drink cow kitty juice anymore? or the molded kitty juice?
Well, Denise when Denise was educating me about milk and all that, she called it pus, drinking cow pus.
Oh.
So,
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
But again, you can go on YouTube and do the research, and because I find it that many people, even on our show, kind of got argumentative with Denise, and she was like, "Well, you know what? I'm not here to argue with you. You know, it's your body.
Right.
You know, you want to drink cow pus and all this stuff. That's your business." But you know, when you start researching it for yourself, you'll see that what she's saying is really true, because when the suction of, you know, that suction thing they put on the nipple of a cow, you know, we took our children out to Fresno State And they were saying that they milked the cows. I couldn't believe how much milk was inside that cow, whatever
wow.
you want to call it, when it
started
milk.
But, yeah, so here's the question. What happened to the baby calf that were supposed to get that milk?
They told our children that they didn't give the milk to the baby calf.
Yeah.
They gave them a milk
supplement. So what did they do with those baby calves? What did they do with those baby calves?
Probably raised them for meat.
They stole. They kidnapped them from their mama.
Yeah, right
exactly.
away.
Right
and
away.
Started,
and the
right,
cows
and
actually
they,
cry for them. The cows cry for them.
Right. You know,
everyone that I've talked to, everyone that has taken the challenge, because it is a challenge. We have to understand that there are chemicals in cheese. That's why they gave it to us for free. I was one of the people in the line getting my block of yellow cheese. And they gave it to us and made us feel comfortable with doing something that was not really part of our heritage. Now, is that part of the European heritage? Yes. And if you do the research, you'll find out that they were the ones who started all this. And we already
right.
know their relationship with animals. So
that
was not something for us, which is why most of us say we're lactose intolerant. So basically, to answer your question, I would say less than 7 days you will feel a difference, if not overnight,
wow.
if you decide to stop
wow.
drinking milk or cheese. I mean, stop taking dairy.
I cannot tolerate milk, so I don't drink drink very little of it. I don't, you know, maybe cream in my coffee, but even that, if I put too much in, makes me sick. But there's so many other substitutes.
There's almonds, there's cashew, there's coconut milk. We don't have to have it. But the other thing that we have to pay attention to are the ingredients on the food that we eat. If it's packaged, you will be surprised how many things actually have dairy.
Wow.
Even though you're not drinking the milk, you have to really pay attention to make sure it doesn't have that in there. And what's interesting is that formula has a lot of the formula out there has dairy in it. So we've been hoodwinked to think we're supposed to be giving our children, our own human babies, a powdered substance that actually has animal milk in it. That's
wow.
what we're supposed to be giving our babies. And then we think that, okay, because the school system says let's give them milk, which is the schools are subsidized, and I'm saying that wrong, by the government.
Mm.
If you look it up, you'd be amazed at how much money goes into it. So it's all one big circle, and America is a capitalistic society. Capitalistic and cannibalism, they both work hand in hand, and that's what we're seeing happening. Our population of people have been told what to eat, and where do we get told that? We get told that in the commercials and advertising and so on.
Yes.
And when we decide we want to better ourselves, Calderas do that, and they've mind manipulated our entire social system to, instead of paying attention to the message, not the messenger, but the message, and saying, you know what, let me do my own research. Because when you do your own research, that's when you're able to really get the most out of making a change and how we want to live. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have this going on, but guess what? We've been having people die from high blood pressure. We've been having people die from diabetes, cancer. We have a host of things happening. So why is this? How many people die from the flu? But why is this happening? Why is this being blown up? I mean, what is the real reason? And it's fear. You have people that are in control of these different countries, and they all sit in dark rooms and communicate and how they want to talk to each other. And there's a big master plan that none of us really can fully get to, because
Absolutely.
Some of the things that they think of, we're not on that evil level. We're not even there. We don't can't even think of being.
Absolutely.
So,
well, I think part of it is what we have,
what we have to do is we have to build our mind by being positive and knowing that what is happening is a cleansing because the earth is tired.
Yep. I agree, sis.
Yes.
And the earth knows and the universe knows that people, I mean, I there are no guarantees for me for today or tomorrow, but I know that I do everything I can every day so that I can be here for my grandchildren and so that they know how to take care of themselves. I have a granddaughter that's very sensitive to certain foods, and as she was growing up, people would want to give her things. And she had to get to a point where I let her know, you have to tell them no. And she's not even, you know, 3 years old. But she has to tell them because people think when they're handing candy or they're giving them some milk, they think they're actually satisfying their own indulgence. They're not really concerned about the child because if they were, they'd know candy is not good to give to children, but they still do it.
And any adult should ask about allergies, and I say that as somebody who had a lot of them growing up. Asthma and allergies sometimes go hand in hand. So, but you make a good point.
Asthma is kicked off by bread. There's an ingredient in bread that will trigger our asthma.
Wow.
So, and then if we're talking mucus, which this virus has mucus, again, let's go back to the dairy. What does that produce?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
So it's unfortunate that there are many who are being lost. We have to remember that this country is very manipulative when it comes to how they want people to behave. And at the end of the day, they don't want to have to force vaccines, so they want to fear mongle us, saying, here I am, go ahead, vaccine me up. And the thing is, our natural vaccine, you know what our natural vaccine is? Our natural vaccine is our tonsils. So when we eat, like, food from the earth, and, you know, there's sometimes some little dirt or whatever that you just don't totally, because, you know, when I was growing up, we were all in the dirt having fun. I mean, it wasn't, you know, don't get dirty, it wasn't like that. So, when you eat food and it passes your tonsils, the tonsils are actually taking in everything that's in that piece of food, and it's going through the tonsils, and the tonsils is creating the immunization. Now, when they bypass the tonsils and they go through the arm with a shot, now you don't know what's going on because you just took the tonsil job away. That's what the tonsils are supposed to do. So, you know, the more we research what's wonderful about social media, the more you focus on the things that you want to see, the more that those things will pop up. Sometimes information, I'm not even looking, it just will pop up on my phone. And I'll be like, oh, okay, because these are the things I pay attention to versus you can't tell people what to do. The only thing you can do is change yourself. That's it.
That's right.
And you can share the information, and it's facts over feelings, and people are going to get hurt because for some reason they're just really stuck on what the white man or white supremacy has said we're supposed to eat.
Right.
I really appreciate you calling in. You are definitely our go-to person when we're talking about holistic methods and ways that we can empower
Yes, and it's such a great feeling when you decide to say, you know what, I have the power. I don't have to wait for the doctor. There's ginger. All you got to do is shred up the ginger, put it in your water, add some lemon from your grandma's backyard tree, and you have got yourself something that you can drink throughout the day that you know you are fighting whatever virus might be out. That ginger
wow.
is going
to
work.
And we don't have to wait for a vaccine. We can create
no.
our own vaccine.
The ginger is a vaccine. It's antiviral. Coconut oil.
Yes.
Coconut oil is an antiviral. If you feel that you're getting a little sick, take a tablet of coconut oil. When we heat up coconut oil, it kind of takes a lot of the healing properties away, but there's nothing to stop you from taking a tablespoon and following it down with some water that has ginger in it. You can make ginger and lemon tea. Boil it up.
Wow.
There you go. If you want some flavor, I mean some sweetness, you can use honey. Turmeric.
Wow.
Turmeric is another antiviral. You put,
and they said the darker the honey, the better it is for asthmatics also.
That's right. Right, because what happens with honey is when you take in honey, you're actually taking in the pollination that most people are allergic to, and they're allergic to it because they're not taking in pollination through honey. So,
right.
In other words, if I was to take honey that was, let's say, you know, back east somewhere, I may still be allergic to a lot of our own
right.
agriculture here, because it's not the honey that's from this area.
You
so,
need it locally
it's really important. The farmer's market is a great place to get your honey because it's local, and so that would be good. But ginger, you want a couple of places for ginger would be Whole Foods, Sprouts, Trader Joe's sometimes, but if you go to Food Max, you'll notice that the ginger is from China. And if you've been paying attention to anything coming out of China, it is not
yep.
as good as if you were to get it from a different country. So you want to keep that in mind, too, sourcing your food. But there's Titus Unlimited. He's amazing. He's not a vegan, but he's and I'm not really a vegan either because I eat honey and vegans don't eat honey. I'm more plant-powered is what I like to say. Just everything is focused on eating plants every single day. But Titus Unlimited, and then another one, especially for people who have high blood pressure, diabetes, or any of these, you know, any type of illness, you'll really want to follow the Minister of Wellness, Nathaniel Jordan, because he's very militant about eating from the food that was designed for us.
Designed for us. Yes, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we are definitely we've gone over, but I needed this to be said because some of us are just like you said, are just sitting and waiting and thinking that we're powerless and we have to wait for them to come and cure us. When there's that's far from the truth. And we're just talking about, you know, building that community, building our own stimulus, starting with taking care of ourselves, how we eat, limiting our travel, the way we travel. Denise, I've seen you on the bike many times, you know. So just taking care of one another, taking care of the earth, respecting the earth, and taking from it what was meant to give us a healthy and long life. While we're here. That's to start with, Dr. Harris. We love the stay-at-home gardens because if we're going to stay at home, we might as well make the best of
that's
it. Right. And what better than to grow our own food and share it with one another?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that those know that I'm the founder of the Fresno Freedom School and our chairwoman Aline and our soon-to-be president Maria, who was our secretary, we're still operating even through this crisis. Grandma said we're not going to let one monkey stop the show. We're still going to teach our children. We're still going to be positive. We have a moral obligation to our community, to love our community, to embrace our community. Even with all the negative elements and all the negative energy that is placed around us, we can still find positive within that negative energy. And I think that it's important that we find that space. And the space that I have found, and understand that, you know, when God gives you vision, he gave the vision to you. He didn't give it to the next door neighbor. He didn't give it to the person across the street. He didn't give it to the person around the corner. He gave it to you. And so the vision that I have is that I have turned my front yard into a stay-home community garden. Front and backyard. We're working on the front now. It's important that we do an assessment of our community. So when I hear Maria talk about, you know, what can we do while we're at home, we can do an assessment of our community. You say, well, Harris, what is an assessment? Assessment is to find out what you have first and what you're bringing to the table first. Then you look down the street and you try to see what assets do you have in your community. Drive down the alley. See what assets that each neighbor has in their yard. And you will find out that we have many vegetable trees, vegetables, fruits, and different things that neighbors may have that we can share. Sister Denise, I don't know if she's still on the phone or not, but she has fruit trees in her yard, right? That's an asset to our community. So it wouldn't make sense for me to grow the same tree, fruit tree, that Sister Denise has. It's important for me to support Sister Denise if she needed anything for us, maybe pruning or watering or et cetera. Down the street, we have some more folk that have apricot trees and lemon trees. Those are the assets that we have in our community. And we have to come to the mind that we're going to have a food shortage in America. I keep saying it over. I say it every day like a broken record. Let me just pose a question out to our listening audience, and then I'm going to go into my yard and what we're growing and all of that. Because, you know, there were some people, it wasn't mean or anything like that, but there comes a point in time where I get tired of hearing people whining and all that, and I just step back. And I just want people to do critical thinking. And I just kept saying, what if we go to the grocery store, we go to Costco, we go to Food for Less, we go to Rite Aid, we go to Food Co., and we go to Walmart, we go to Target, and you say, I want some toilet paper. And they look at you and they say, we have no toilet paper. My next question is, what are you going to do? That's all I've been asked, putting questions out here to our community. And some are taking offense to it. Some are saying, oh, you're making us go into panic. Stop saying that. You know, you're Mary-elect and you making people nervous. No, it's a real question. What if you go to the store and say, I want some toilet paper, and they say, we don't have any? My question to all of our listening audience, our lovely people all across the world, what are you going to do? Now, let me bring that home now. What if you go to the store, Costco, Winco, Walmart, wherever, and you say, I want to buy some groceries, and they say, we don't have any food. What are you going to do? Because, see, this country has made us so
dependent.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Dependent
on her. That she is running out of resources. So So we have to go back to our ancestors, grandma, big mama, great-great-grandma. How did they survive during the Depression? Because that's what this is coming up to.
Uh-huh.
They had what? They knew how to preserve peaches. They knew how to preserve beans. They had chickens in their backyard. Just whatever they had during that time, they took what they had and they made the best with it. My question to everyone today is, we are going to have a food shortage. We just had a farmer who had 13 acres of lettuce. And instead of giving it to the food bank, what did he do? He plowed it all up. He plowed it all up during a crisis time like now. So the Freedom School, as I keep telling everyone, I want to go into what we're growing, is that we are still teaching during a crisis, do for self or be a slave. Do for yourself or be a slave. So the vision that I have is that, first of all, I can't eat bushes. And I'm not even going to try. I'm not a horse. I'm not a cow or anything like that. I can't eat those. But what I can eat is a nice red tomato. What I can eat is an eggplant. What I can eat is lettuce. What I can eat is onions. What I can eat is white and yellow corn. What I can eat is black-eyed peas. What I can eat is watermelons, cantaloupes, and honeydews. What I can eat is sunflower seeds. What I can eat is sweet potatoes. Now, everything I just said to you is what I'm growing here at my home.
Whoa, sweet potatoes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to let the people in my circle, because I'm building this entire stay-at-home community garden for the community. Because when the harvest comes in June and July, guess where it's going? It's going in to different homes.
Right.
That's how we take care of community. My next door neighbor, I did not know that he was on dialysis. He goes to dialysis 3 o'clock in the morning. I hit a truck out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, loading him up. Because see, grandma said out of everything bad, learn something good. Now, what can we take out of this virus stay at home type, whatever it's doing to us now? We can start building relationships with our neighbor.
Yes.
Next door, across the street, down the street.
Yep.
I gave him about 8 tomato plants. And he said, thank you. And that's how I found out he was on dialysis.
Wow.
And since I now know he's on dialysis, I should be more what? Show more compassion. Then I said, hey, I have some mustard seeds. I have some squash. I have some zucchini. Would you like to have some? He said, sure. He's in his backyard today digging up the ground and laying seeds.
Wow.
That's empowerment right there.
That's
a community stimulus right there.
What I'm going to do now
is, because the Freedom School, we have so many seeds, I'm going to bag them in these little bitty sandwich bags. And I'm going to put mustard greens, collard greens, whatever the name of the seeds. And I'm going to walk door to door and ask people, do they want some seeds so that they could grow their own food?
Yeah.
That's my way of giving back to our community. I don't have money to give them. But if you had to go buy these greens, you'll be spending money anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So why not eat organic? Why not, you know, do for self, be a slave? Listen, I cook greens all the time. I cook them, and what I do? Put them in freezers back. How do I know that? My grandma taught me that. May she rest in peace.
Right.
But you have been a good example, Reverend Harris. Reverend Dr. Harris, you have been a very good example of eating in a clean way, eating organically, eating healthy, eating in a nutritious way. And I think perhaps this COVID pandemic is going to be a wake-up call for a lot of Black people to love themselves enough, and this is myself included, to not run to McDonald's when we're hungry, not run to Popeyes or KFC, but to take the time to build a salad at home and to eat it, something that's going to nourish our bodies and our soul. This is a wake-up call for a lot of us. We need to open our third eye and see what's going on, because Sister Denise alluded to the fact that, you know, wherever this virus came from, you know, whether people think it's a conspiracy theory or not, this is thinning the herd to a lot of fat cats, you know, expendable people, Black and brown, you know, people who are expendable and can be easily replaced, so they think. But we can't. We're individual children of God. So we have a choice to make now, and I think it's time that we all pull together and make that choice. And you're leading the charge. Freedom School is leading the charge. You and Maria putting together this program about the stay-at-home gardens, I think, is an excellent, excellent way to make this work in a positive way. So I'm just happy to be a part of it. I'm going to say to all the listeners, you know, even old heads have a part to play. And our part is to be supportive. Support the young people and what they're doing.
Right. So just coming together, talking, having that dialogue, checking on your neighbor. You don't have to save the world, but maybe you can just help save the person next door, assist the person next door, or the person across the street. If you can't serve 100, serve one, you know.
That's right.
So just do a part. Let's begin to look out for one another. Begin to evaluate what we put in our bodies. So like Sister Denise said, we're not waiting for a vaccine. You know, we become our own internal vaccine to get rid of viruses and anything else that comes to harm our body. So do you guys have any closing comments before we end the show tonight?
Well, I just want to say, and I'm going to yield after this, but really appreciate you, you and Aline. Aline runs the board as well. Sometimes you got really good at it, and now you're learning, and it really gives me a break. You know, I have a lot of people pulling at me every day. I've you know, dealt with a big issue today here in the community that could have went really sour, but, you know, I jumped on it and dealt with it, and so it hopefully fizzled itself out. And so, you know, being a leader, sometimes it's a lonely walk. You know, you find yourself maybe sometimes second guessing yourself, but I think that, you know, if you put your heart in it in it for the right reasons, I think that the Creator will send people to you to help, you know, when you feel like dropping down, you know, dropping your arm, they'll lift your arms up. And so I just really, you know, I just can't say enough how much I really appreciate you all taking pressure off me, because I've been doing this over 30-some years, and I'm tired. But even though I'm tired, I find a way to keep going. And, you know, once I write my book, everybody will understand more about what's going on with me. And,
wow.
And I'm hearing a helicopter again over the house. So, but anyway, I just want to say that every day, I do a tutorial here in the yard for maybe how to plant tomato plants, or right now we're dealing with the bugs right now. Make some home organic oil to spray on the plants to get rid of the bugs. And so all that stuff is important. And so I want people to you know, when you see me live streaming, you know, pop on real quick, kind of see what I'm doing. I'm buying two more ride beds to put our collards and mustard greens in. And again, all this is for the community. You know, I don't want a penny from anyone. I just want people to come. When the harvest come get it. Bless your family. Bless your children. And so I just want to see everyone, if they can, buy a plant. I'll give you a plant, whatever it takes. I just want to see people healthy. I want to see people happy. And hey, and enjoy this show. I yield back.
Thank you. Sister Eileen, do you have any closing words for us?
Just my usual. I want everybody to stay black till we get back and be your brother's keeper during this pandemic.
Yes, yes. I thank everybody that called in, everybody that listened on live stream, whether it's mine or Dr. Harris or on the radio, and each one, teach one, reach one. And let's create our own community stimulus, not dependent on the government and their cures, but dependent on us pulling together as a community.
Well said. Well said.
So
what
God bless. Everybody stay healthy.
What was that, Rev?
I said, what do you always tell us at the end of the show?
I always say, stay black till we get back, and during this time, please be a brother and sister's keeper.
All right, and we are out. Good night.